good.
Hi, Daphne.
Hi, Mom. I'm alive.
We already discussed that last week that you're going to live, right?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I think so.
I didn't listen to it.
Nice. Because you said, oh, we're talking about my health issues. And I go, well, last week you told everybody you were going to die. And I'm telling everybody you're not.
Yes, I'm not.
I said apparently Daphne's going to live.
I had mono that was inactive that came active again. And then very, 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 very early, early, early lupus.
Potentially.
Anyway, we have a guest with us today. If you can hear her, her name is Amira. She's my baby. Amira sat with us before in the podcast, but she's currently on my lap and I just needed some Amira love. So Amira's here. Amira is here. All right. You ready for my disturbing fact?
I am ready.
Also, we have puppies. If anyone wants a French bulldog puppy, DM us.
Yeah. Please.
Yes, please.
Ethically sourced, cage free.
Yeah. Health tested, health backed.
Yep.
Health guaranteed.
Yep. Mom and dad DNA tested, no backyard breeding for me. Trying to undo all the bad backyard breeding by making them perfect. And these ones are perfect.
Yeah, they're perfect.
Yeah.
This one's a little smushy right here. So that's why. And it's hot as hell out here. So she's also panting. She's like, girl, why are you so hot? But she's like also sitting on me. And also like, you know, we produce a lot of heat together. Okay, my disturbing fact. Okay, so this was fun. I did, if you guys remember, Haunted Denver Metro Part 2 about Cheeseman Park and the cemetery and then it becoming the Botanic Gardens. I did a ghost tour there a couple weeks ago. Tried to get Mom to go. Went with my best friend, Lindsay. Mom was like, it's too late at night for me. And so I was like, that sucks then. Okay. Anyway.
Well, I'm up half the night with puppies.
With puppies?
With puppies. Raising cage-free puppies.
Okay, well, you could have gone still, and it was so fun because you missed a lot of great ghost stories and a tour of the Waring House, which is never open to the public.
I know, but I'll do it next year, so there.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
I'll do it again.
Anyway, continue.
So, remember how we were talking about in that episode, how you mentioned that there would be burials in the newspaper? They'd be like, oh, we're going to go bury this person tomorrow, funerals at this time, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
obituaries?
No, it wasn't an obituary. It would be
a death announcement.
Yes, a death announcement in the paper and being like, oh, so, you know, people would read that, go, oh, cool. There's a hole there already. I'm going to bury my loved one there or my murder victim, whatever, you know, I'm going to bury said person there. They put them in the hole that's already 6 feet deep and then they would fill it in a little bit. And so,
as Daphne said the other day when she was explaining it to me, put a teaspoon of dirt on it. It's like, I think they need a little more, but okay.
Yes. So a little bit more than a teaspoon of dirt. But I left this part of the story out because this is where I'm getting to. This is the fact.
Okay.
Well, I mean, this is all facts. I'm sure this happened everywhere else, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
So I'm sure it still happens today.
Probably.
Anyway, so, oh, Señorita. She just wants to be a part of the show.
Clearly,
she has her opinion. FOMO. She does have an opinion on everything because hers is Amira and we just love her. Anyway, so, oh, she's getting serious. You see her? She's like, I need to weigh in on this in just a sec.
Okay, go.
Okay. They bury person, right? Fill in the hole a little bit. Well, one day someone noticed and they were like, hey, I don't think this hole's 6 feet. And they're like, no, I dug it yesterday. I promise you it's 6 feet. So he made the guy who dug the hole get in the hole and it wasn't 6 feet anymore. And that's how they discovered there was a body underneath it, right?
Was it in like a box or was it just like a straight body?
No, it was just a body.
Okay.
Oof.
Spoonful of dirt didn't work.
Spoonful of dirt didn't work. We're smelling the decomposition right now happening because Amira just farted.
The flinch.
Anyway. Okay, so this is how they came up with this method, which they would call, they were staking the grave, every hole that they would go and bury a casket in, they would stake it, and if it came up with no body in it and it was just dirt, like if they stabbed far enough with a stake, right, and they pulled it up and there were human remains on it, it would just be a stake, and if they pulled it up and there was nothing on it and just dirt, it would be a virgin stake. That's a fact. It's just kind of fun.
It is kind of fun. Fun fact, virgin steak, not virgin steak.
Yeah, there you go. All
right.
That's all I had.
Okay.
I just thought it was interesting. I mean, I know now there's like other methods of how they figure it out. Like they do dowsing rods, but that's not scientifically proven to work or not. So
because they're just checking for water.
What?
Dowsing rods are checking for water.
I don't know.
So since your body is mostly water, assuming you're hydrated.
Yeah.
then that's what the dowsing rod is picking up.
Assuming you're hydrated. Okay, call out. As I was literally like, I stretched literally like I stretched too hard and got a cramp.
Same.
Anyway, then they also have like the ground penetrating like overhead system, or they can like look through the layers topically and see if there's any like abnormal things compared to the rest of an area under the soil. So ground emitting something.
So people are still doing it today?
Checking to see if there's bodies underground? Yeah, like police do it, you know?
No, I know, but like if there's going to be a burial and then somebody like...
Well, I'm sure there's cameras now, so it's probably a little harder to get away with. And gates on cemeteries. Although that cemetery that Lindsay and I checked out a few weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago, that Gold Hill Cemetery... Mm-hmm. We were like, oh, you could take a body up here, absolutely, because there's literally a sign that says...
No cameras.
Bodies welcome. No.
Nice.
No, it doesn't actually say that. It says that there are loads of unmarked graves in here. If you see recently unturned earth or rocks or, like, other things in random places, please do not disturb. There is a body there.
I wonder if it's a witch.
What?
Sorry. Because I'm listening to this series of books, which is so amazing. And I don't really ever listen to books like this. But since I am busy all day long and taking care of dogs and mopping and whatnot, I started listening to Audible like all the time. And so I run out of credits pretty quickly. So I started like just searching for the free stuff. And this 10 box set series came up, and it's about these witches. And the author's name is Tess Lake. These books are so great. They are funny.
What is it called?
The Torrent Witches, but it's okay. A box set. So like there's the Butter Witch, the Holiday Witch, like they all...
Well, I just picked up a new book that I've seen a lot on TikTok.
Can I finish?
Yeah.
Really quickly.
But it's not those books is my point.
They were talking about this old cemetery because one of the books, they're going through the library and digging up old records and like digitizing them. And they were talking about how the cemetery has a bunch of unmarked graves. And of course, like normal people don't know about all the witches and everything. Only the witches know about the witches. And so they were saying that...
Like the vamps and Vampire Diaries.
Right, exactly. So they were saying that the witches have unmarked graves, and they also... So there's no headstones for the witches, and they also just get buried straight into the ground so that their bodies can just decompose into the earth and just become one with the earth. So anyway, that's why I said that when you said that.
Yeah. Okay.
But
the book I picked up...
Obviously, it's fiction, but...
The book I picked up is called The Very Secret Society of Irregular Witches. Mm. And apparently it's supposed to be like one of the cutest little witchy books ever.
Yeah. These books are great. It's a 10 box set, and it's so...
Also, I was going to say that we have a book review that's going to be coming up if anyone wants to follow along and read it with us. It's called The Great Dick and the Dysfunctional Demon.
Yeah, super excited.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. We have a book review. We were sent the book by the author's publicist, so that's kind of fun. Maybe getting some exposure for us finally.
Yeah, and getting a free book to read that's... Sounds very entertaining because there was an excerpt from it and I was like, oh yeah, this is totally up my alley.
This is the one. This book is the one for us.
Yeah. So can you name it again?
Yes. It is called The Great Dick and the Dysfunctional Demon.
I love it.
Here, let me find.
And it is by
Barry Maher. Maher.
Mar.
Mar.
Like M-A-H-E-R.
Yeah.
Like Bill Maher.
Like that.
Yeah.
But Barry.
Okay, not Bill. Okay,
not gotcha. Bill, Barry.
Okay. Barry Marr.
Yes, it says the description of the book reads, ooh, I don't know if I should be the one to read this. We know I can't words. In The Great Dick and the Dysfunctional Demon, it's 1819. See, dyslexia is already clicking. 1892. Steve Witowski's name is an alias. Once he was a counterculture hero, now he's a failed songwriter running from the law. And he's just become a killer, stumbling a woman on being assaulted by what seemed to be the strongest, most bloodthirsty wino in California. Steve's life was already quite a few chuckles short of a load of laughs, and now he's crossed a threshold he never knew existed. He should keep moving, but the woman, Victoria, is beyond stunning. Oddly, she's just bought a decrepit old church with a blood-soaked past. Steve stays. Even in the face of a man he just killed materializes in his arm, and Victoria becomes a part of the mystery he can't unravel. Even as he's looting the dead of secrets, a self-proclaimed sort... Even as he's looting the dead for the secrets of a self-proclaimed proclaimed sorcerer, and he's trapped in the nightmare of fire and blood with the Ralph Lauren version of the Manson family. The sorcerer's spells and rituals can't actually work, of course, until they do. And unknown to Steve, a demon is growing desperate.
Sounds so good.
I was like, yeah, please.
Right, yes.
Thank you, Steve, his publicist, the one who sent it to us. Yeah. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
Big happenings for us over here on this side of the world.
Correct.
And Vienna, don't you fret. Yours is coming for your birthday.
Okay. Commitment has been made, Daphne.
Commitment has been made. I've been working on it. I've been looking into it. I watched like 3 documentaries, I think, about stuff on it.
Okay.
It's happening. I had a case request. This is not what today is all about, obviously, since I gave the fact. But Vienna, don't fret. It's coming your way.
All right. Okay. Are you ready for me?
I'm ready for you.
Okay. Sounds good. This is about the Biltmore Estate, which sounds fucking amazing, and I'll get to all of the amazingness.
Where is it?
It's in Asheville, North Carolina. But
okay.
Oh my God. But this is like the haunted part of it because, you know, we do the spooky ooky. And I try not to do like all the history stuff because it's hard not to, but I definitely was like, no, Gail, don't include that. People don't care.
Okay.
So, anyway, okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. The Biltmore Estate is located in Asheville, North Carolina, and was the dream house of George Washington Vanderbilt II. George was left $2 million by his grandfather when he passed.
When was this?
They built the house in, started in 1889.
Okay.
So, but this was
so
like
$2 million. That's a lot of
money. It's a lot. Okay. So yeah,
that's a lot of money today, but today that's a lot of money.
A lot. So George was left $2 million by his grandfather when he passed. Then he was given another $1 million when he turned 21. And then when his father passed, he inherited another $5 million and had income from a $5 million trust fund. Okay. So clearly he's hurting.
Yeah.
He is hurting for cash.
Right. Yeah. He's like, oh, I can't afford anything. Right. I'm broke.
I'm like, oh my God.
What was me?
Oh, I want to be a Vanderbilt. Although I think probably money
is
doesn't
he any
solve
relation
everything.
To the Vanderbilt family?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a Vanderbilt.
Like the Vanderbilts.
Yes, okay. Exactly. So George Washington Vanderbilt II.
Well, see, I had a moment when you were like, George Washington, then you kind of paused and went, Vanderbilt II. I was like, oh, the first president built this place. Are we talking about the White House? Is that its real name?
No. All right. So George had lived in various family homes in his life, and then he decided that he needed his own country mansion in the state because he has all this fucking money. And he's like, hey, I want my own house. I'm tired of living with all you guys, right?
I get it.
I'm tired of couch surfing because I'm a millionaire.
Yeah, I understand that.
Do you?
Well, I'm tired of couch surfing, but not because I'm a millionaire. Because I want my own place, too.
So he bought 125,000 acres, which included...
How many square miles is that?
Oh, my God, dude. Why? Remember, an acre is 0.25 or something, or 0.33. So it's a lot, dude. It's a lot. A lot. Don't make us math and pause to math.
Yeah, well, remember you were like, with the Texas Killing Fields, you were like, oh, my God, it was like 25 acres. It was huge. And then we looked it up and it was like 1.6 square miles or something.
Yeah,
like.
But I think 125,000 acres is big. It seems big.
Yeah, well, now I need to know.
Okay, well, then pause it and look it up.
195.3125 square miles.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
195?
Yeah, 195 square miles. Ish. A little bit over 195.
That's a lot. That's big. I told you 125,000 was big.
Yes, but when you said it about the Texas Killing Fields, remember it like actually was not that big of a piece of land?
Correct. You're right. I was wrong. But now I'm right. It's big.
But now I'm right. It's big. Oh, there's Amira saying, yeah, she's right now. It's big. That's my mom. Don't distract my mom.
The 125,000 acres that he bought included woodland as well as over 50 farms. And he employed architect Richard Morris Hunt to design a limestone house, which was modeled on the... After this.
Chateau de Blois.
Okay. So it's modeled after... Because I know I won't say
after
it,
this,
right?
After this. Chateau de Blois.
Anyway.
Which is a place, I'm assuming.
And another chateau. No, a chateau is a house. So it was like a big castle or something.
Yeah, but you said modeled after this place. And then you said, hang on a sec.
Oh, yeah. It was modeled on the Chateau de
Blois.
Yeah, the Chateau de Blois.
Okay.
And another chateau of the
Loire
Valley. I could say that. I just want to butcher it. So construction started on the estate in 1889 and was completed 6 years later in 1895.
Damn, that's a long time to build a house.
The Biltmore Estate, which is,
I guess if it's
195
acre or 195 square miles big, that might take 6 years to build.
Right.
That's like a whole fucking community in some places.
Yeah. So the estate, which is 175,000 square feet, which is 4 acres of house, because it was like in both two places. One said 175,000 square feet, which is more relatable to a house to me than a 4 acre floor of house. But what? Anyway, one of the things said that the house floor plan was equivalent to 4 acres, but then in square feet, 175,000 square foot house.
Okay. That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that doesn't make any sense.
Oh, wait, that it's a huge ass fucking house?
Well, okay. Yeah. So it's a mansion.
Yes.
It's an estate.
It's an estate. And it has 250 rooms and is the largest domestic dwelling ever constructed in the United States. So it's just your standard 250
rooms. I was like, why does he 250 bedrooms?
No, not bedrooms, just rooms.
Oh, so okay.
It's just your standard.
I heard bedrooms. I think I made that up, but I heard bedrooms in my head.
No.
My head inserted beds before rooms, and then I'm like, he has so many friends.
It's big sleepover. So every night. You know, just your typical 250-room house with 35 bedrooms, 43 bathrooms, 65 fireplaces.
Wait, how many bedrooms?
35.
Yeah, that's still a lot of bedrooms.
Yes, it is. And 43 bathrooms. And 65 fireplaces, probably your dad's actual dream. And it had electricity. And mind you, this is the late 1800s. So it had electricity, indoor plumbing, a gymnasium, a call bell system, which I looked it up because I was like, Daphne's going to be like, what's a call bell system? And I'm like, oh.
I didn't ask.
But okay, but you would have if I didn't look it up. So anyway, it's like if you push a button, like say I'm in the kitchen.
It's going to call the maid service up in the attic.
Yeah, yeah, and it tells you what room is calling. So
like
it has like
we used to have in our house.
Yeah, it was a phone thing. That was weird.
Yeah,
anyway,
it was a phone because it was more modern. It was the 70s.
Way more modern. So and it also had a centralized clock system, which is a system where there's a master clock that sends electrical impulses to subsidiary clocks in the building, keeping them all on the same exact time. And this technology at the time was used only in large buildings like hospitals and schools. And I guess if you're like a millionaire.
Okay.
That's pretty crazy. And yeah. It also had an indoor swimming pool.
Whee!
Yeah. Yeah. Just your standard 250-room house. Typical neighbor down the street.
Your neighbor down the street who has their own 195-ish square miles.
Yeah.
A little bit more than 195.
Just a little. So Vanderbilt had a huge interest in horticulture and agriscience. And on his...
Sounds like my kind of guy. Why? Where is he today?
Well, dead.
Yeah. Maybe he's not really.
I think he is.
He sounds like he might have had enough money at that time to become a time traveler.
Probably not. Maybe. I don't know.
Probably not. Okay.
All right. So
I was just like horticulture, big house, rich.
43 Vanderbilt. Bathrooms.
Yeah. 43 bathrooms, 35 bedrooms, so many fireplaces. This is my type of guy. Where is he?
Where is he? Dead. On his estate, he
Googling,
oversaw.
Can you marry a set of bones? Not inherit their fortune.
Nope. So on his estate, he oversaw experiments in scientific farming, animal bloodline breeding, and forestry. And his goal was to operate a self-sustaining estate. So like, you know, to have his own farm, his own animals, his own like milk production, cheese production, just the whole nine. Like you don't have
to
go anywhere. Yeah, you don't have to go anywhere. And it was all like
he's making his own farmer's market.
Yes. And it was all being like perfected through science. So it's not just like,
oh my God, he's my type of guy.
Okay. Anyway, fun fact, Vanderbilt hired Gifford Pinchot to manage the forests on the estate. And Pinchot went on to be the first chief of the U.S. Forest Service.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's cool. And also, I didn't put this in there and I don't remember the guy's name, but the guy that he had design the gardens there also co-designed Central Park in New York City.
Oh, that's really cool.
So yeah, he's like rich. He can do that.
Yeah.
Like from couch surfing to fanciness.
George Washington Vanderbilt II.
Correct.
Yes. I just got to make sure I had my husband's name correct.
Daphne Washington Vanderbilt the second.
Yes.
Mrs.
Yes. Mrs. Washington Vanderbilt the second.
Daphne, you have to put your name in there.
Yeah, okay.
Daphne's writing it on, like, school paper 52 different
Daphne
times. With like
Hearts Vanderbilt. Daphne Hearts Vanderbilt.
Daphne Hearts George.
Yeah.
So George died only 19 years after the completion of his dream estate from complications of an appendectomy when he was only 51 years old.
Darn it.
Yeah. So the told you he was dead. And that was like in 1914, I think. So the estate then became the property of his wife, Edith, and the couple's only child, Cornelia.
Okay.
Okay, so that's history. Now we're getting into the meat. Guests and staff.
Who became ghosts.
Yes. Guests and staff have both reported various and assorted hauntings, cold spots, and a sense of being watched or followed, and even being pushed.
Wait, okay. How current are we talking?
Now.
Now? Okay, so is it a hotel now?
No. It's a tourist attraction.
Well, you just said guests and staff, so it's still open to the public.
It's open to the public, yes, for tours and whatnot.
But it's not like an Airbnb. It's not a B&B or a hotel.
Not the mansion itself, but there's stuff where you can stay.
Okay.
So anyway, so there have been reports of the sounds of a party in the Great Hall. Orchestral music can be heard, as well as lively, spirited conversations like, you know.
Okay.
And the sound of clinking glasses when no one is there, and the smell of cigar smoke. And the Biltmore is a non-smoking establishment. And yeah. So that's creepy, right?
That is creepy. Yeah.
There are also staff members in ghostly form performing their daily routines all over the house and the grounds. So like a ghost of like a maid and a gardener and blah, 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 and all that. The grand staircase and the basement are the two most haunted spots in the house. People feel sudden drops in temperature. Witnesses have heard footsteps and seen shadowy figures going up and down the stairs when there's no one there. And these experiences are usually accompanied by smells drifting through the air like perfume, cologne, food. So creepy.
Yeah.
And in the basement, there are reports of ghosts cooking and doing like kitchen chores and stuff.
Okay. Creepy.
Creepy, but cool, right?
Yeah. It's kind of sounds like maybe what was a little bit of the inspiration of Beauty and the Beast was like
maybe
he's doing the chore.
Yeah.
Except for it's actually just Ottoman. A teacup.
Yeah, or a
chip.
George is said to have stayed at the estate after his passing.
I'm sure.
Right.
His happiest place. Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I'm like, where do I want to go today? I think I'm going to go watch a movie in the bathtub of the 16th bathroom.
That's Daphne's fucking dream right there.
Oh my God. We stayed at a hotel in Chicago.
The Talbot.
Yeah. When I was a kid, and there was a toilet. There was a toilet in the bathroom as well. There was a TV in the bathroom, and I remember I took a bath, and like, I don't remember when I watched.
Like a big ass jacuzzi tub.
Yeah. It was like a big ass jacuzzi tub. And I watched something on the Disney Channel that like I vividly remember. It was probably Hannah Montana or something. But like I just like was in there for like 2 hours. And I remember you guys being all fucking irritated. And then you guys still, we were staying, it was like almost directly across the street, or like across the street, like a block over from Haagen-Dazs, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. And you guys went to Haagen-Dazs without me. Yeah. I was just enjoying myself. I'm
like, fuck this bitch.
That is still what I do. I still like will prop my computer up on my toilet and sit in the bath and watch TV or movie in the bathroom, my computer.
Secrets of Daphne.
It's not really much of a secret. If you were to come in my bathroom, if I'm taking a bath, that's always going to be the happening. Yeah. Can you add that to my Christmas list? I want like a tray that you put across the bathtub. I won't put my computer on the tray.
I'm like, dude, I'm not replacing like, your computer.
But like to put like snacks on and a drink. And and I want one of those things that you insert into the bathtub that like has the jets on it that make it like a DIY jet tub. I mean it.
I don't doubt that you do. I'm like, I thought you were going to say, so I can put my computer. I'm like, dude, you're lucky. You'd be all, well, what happened was it dropped off the tray and went into the tub. So now I need a new computer.
No. I'll still just leave it on the toilet.
Okay. That's so much better.
It worked from my old bathroom and my current bathroom.
Isn't that great?
How had you never seen me travel with my computer into the bathroom to take a bath or outside of it?
Just don't pay attention to that, I suppose.
Or sometimes I take my iPad too. Either, regardless, there's always a show going on.
There's some sort of entertainment happening while you're taking a bath.
Every time.
Okay. Good to know. Or not. Either way.
I don't know. It's usually Desperate Housewives. My favorite right. show ever.
Oh, goodness. All right.
Sorry. Oh.
That's okay. Now I want Haagen-Dazs. That's okay.
You're still lactose intolerant.
Yep, I am. You're not wrong. The library was George's favorite place inside the home.
Home. No, it was Giardelli. That's where you guys went. Not Haagen-Dazs. Giardelli.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. I was thinking Giardelli, but I didn't want you to correct me and be like, no, Haagen-Dazs was across the street from Giardelli.
No, it was Giardelli.
And yes. Then there was that hot dog place. But anyway, okay, let's
stop. And then I remember Dad took me back to get a hot dog later that night. Yeah,
of course he did. And one for himself.
Yes. Probably like three.
So
and finished mine.
Favorite place inside the home. And at home in air quotes, because, you know, it's a fucking giant ass mansion or estate, if you will, was his go-to spot, especially like during storms. And that's where his spirit is most often felt. And he's even been seen in a reading chair near the fireplace at the onset of a storm. But it's like one of those like quick glimpse, like, did I see that? Did I not see that? Was that like a person there? There's nobody there. Right. What's up with that? I like that.
Did I see that? Did I not really see that?
Right.
That's what a lot of the stories were like at a Botanic Gardens. Yeah. Like of the ghosts walking around chilling. They're like, did we really see that person? Was he really there? Was he not really there? I'm so confused.
Yeah. Edith's spirit is also said to frequent the library, and her shadow can be seen walking the halls and whispering for George to come and join her.
Creepy.
Because it said like if they were having parties and stuff that sometimes he would like sneak off to the library just to get a minute, and she would be like, dude, we're having a party, come on, let's go. But since she's a ghost, she's not like, George,
we're having a party, let's go.
Yeah, it's like they hear like, George.
That's creepy.
So creepy. But cool. I don't know.
I like it. I don't know. I could live there.
Yeah, me too. I totally.
If there's any clawfoot tubs, that is like my dream.
I'm sure.
That is my dream bathtub.
I rabbit holed, landed in the weeds, and totally looked at this place for a really long time because I was like, ooh. But anyway, okay.
Yeah, so this is going to be our next test.
For sure. Okay. So in the basement, there is a room dubbed the Halloween room. There are brightly colored paintings of soldiers, witches, black cats, and bats that were inspired or I guess like copied more or less. Not more or less. More. Directly.
More or less. No, exactly. Directly copied from.
from a show program from a Russian cabaret.
Oh.
So some have reported seeing a woman in a red flapper dress in the room, but that's like a rare sighting.
Love that.
That's a rare sighting. And these paintings were from Cornelia's time. So that's the daughter when she was an adult and lived in the house because she was like an artist-y type.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't put this in there, but I'll just real quick. She got married when she was like 24 or something. And her husband had two kids and she lived in the house with them. And then she was like, fuck this. This isn't for me. And so she dipped and she moved to New York to Greenwich Village. And then she went to art school there. And then she's like, okay, also not really for me. Like, I don't even want to be in the United States. So then she went to Paris, dyed her hair pink and called herself something else that I can't remember. It was some just Madonna.
Did she keep the family or was she going through like a
real crisis? No, she just like did. She's like, I think you got
I'm like,
this.
But she like, okay, now your mommy's going to have pink hair. Or she's like, I'm not a mommy.
Yeah, basically. She's like, I got to go.
Well, that's A, sad, but B, like really kind of cool, actually, like kind of goals.
I think you guys wouldn't like it if I had just done that.
No.
I thought about it so many times.
I mean, being able to just like travel. You're such a liar. I'm your whole heart and soul.
That is so true.
You don't know what to do without me.
I'm kidding. That is true. I do love you. Okay. I wasn't going to say all that because it's like not relevant to the
jet setter is like goals.
Ghost. It's not relevant to the ghost story.
Like I want to be like, oh my God, I'm so sick of my 250 bedroom house.
It's only 35 bedrooms.
It's only 35. Did I say bedrooms? I meant rooms. These are all the same thing. Anywhere where a blow up mattress could live or a couch is. You could put a couch in a bathroom.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine all the sheets if you had 250 bedrooms? Because I don't like any of the bedrooms to have the same sheets or anything. So that way I can know which sheets go to which beds.
What are you talking about? Because you literally bought Dad the exact same sheets that were on my bed. So I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about. When I was like, wait a sec, what? Mom, my sheet shrunk. Because my parents have like a split king and it's, you know, the two twin XLs and I had a queen and it was like light gray sheets. I was like, my sheet shrunk. I can't get it on my bed.
Okay, well, that's fair. But you bought your own sheets and I didn't buy those sheets. Otherwise, they're not the same sheets.
Just they're because not the you same order brand, them. But they're the exact same color.
Yeah, well, you have gray and you have khaki, basically, or blue, or like taupe. Those are basically sheet choices. Light gray, dark gray.
Are they?
The pool, which held 70,000 gallons of water.
That's a big pool.
70,000 gallons of water, which was heated and had underwater lighting. So again, late 1800s.
And, that's so cool.
And it was in this room of itself. Like it was this big, elegant room with white brick walls, ceiling and floors. So everything's white, including the pool. The pool is white and wood finishings. So it really looks like it could be in a horror movie, to be honest. I was like, man, that could be like in The Shining or something.
It sounds amazing to me.
But it's super, I don't know, it's creepy. Creepy looking at the same time. Anyway, so guests who visit, and it's an empty pool because it's a tourist attraction and they don't like maintain the pool. I mean, they maintain the pristine cleanness of it, but there's like no water in it.
Oh, yeah. That looks like that's from American Horror Story Hotel.
Yeah, right? Creepy.
Yeah, that actually looks like the pool that was in the hotel season.
Yeah, it's creepy. Place has been used for like filming location for movies and shows and stuff. But I didn't like look which ones. No,
like actually that looks exactly like the pool. Here, let's look it up. Pool filmed. No, it was not filmed at the Biltmore.
Okay.
But it says it has appeared in other productions, just not AHS Hotel. So I told you. Do you have a list of things it's been
no,
in?
No, I didn't include that. It was in Forrest Gump and it was in The Last of the Mohicans, like The Estate was, and something else, like several something else's.
It Richie was, Rich, Hannibal, Forrest Gump, Patch Adams, The Last Mohicans.
Oh, The Last Mohicans. Did I say that or did I say?
I don't know. Being There, Timothy Green, The Odd Life of Timothy Green. That was a really cute movie. A Biltmore Christmas.
A Biltmore Christmas, which is an original Hallmark movie because I did read that. And I okay. remember, but not something I would watch.
Sorry, I'm just rabbit holing now. That's cool as
hell. Dude, I'm telling you. So let me finish.
Okay, finish,
you
finish,
can rabbit
finish.
Hole on your own.
You can rabbit hole on your own, ho.
Yeah, well, I totally did. Like I said, rabbit hole, landed in weeds, kept going. This pool, it's empty because it's just an estate. It's a tourist attraction. Nobody lives there. Nobody stays there.
Okay.
So guests who visit feel anxious or nauseous when they enter the pool area. And the sounds of splashing and laughter coming creepily from the drain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Creepy.
And the story behind that is that a child of one of their party guests died in the pool that was unattended during a party. But there's no record of that.
Of course there
is. So whether it really happened or whether $5 million gets you.
I was going to say, I bet you it was probably really on the hush hush.
Probably.
Okay. If it happened, if it's true, it was probably very much, they were probably silenced.
Probably. So there's.
They're probably like, here, have some money, have another kid.
Also your fault because you weren't watching your kid.
Yeah.
So there's also a lady in black who haunts the room and has been seen on several occasions because there always has to be a lady in black.
Always.
It's just a
rule. Or white.
It's a rule. A haunting rule. A lady in white, a lady in black.
Or one or the other, or both.
Right. And this place is big enough to have both.
This place probably has variations.
Well, I said there was the red flapper dress.
Yep.
So we got red, we got black.
Yep.
And right now we're going to get to the pink woman. So a ghost called the woman in pink has been seen wandering the halls. And the rumor was that she was George's mistress who died in 1898 at a hospital not too far down the road from the estate. And I don't know how far down the road because it's a 195-mile state, but estate, not state, but
property.
Yeah. And then.
Dude, that's a big ass property. That's like a whole tank of gas. Like, did he have a gas station on the property?
Fuck if I know.
Like, those cars were around, like, right around that time, weren't
around
they?
Around that time. I mean, just they were starting, yeah.
Horses?
Yeah, horse-drawn carriage. You need to stop and have, like, an oat station and water every 5 miles or something. I don't know. And local lore speaks of a dark chapter centered around the old forestry compound that was built in 1898. Because remember how I said that he had like his own agri-science
thing? 5 miles. That's just like
mind-blowing.
Unfathomable of how large that space is.
Right. And he just
bought literally, it. That's like a gas tank almost. Well, My car has a little bit more than that. My car carries like 319 on average.
Yeah, I'm like, my car can do like 319. So I could go around it a couple times or twice, almost.
Not quite.
Not quite. Anyway.
1.5.
So after serving as the Biltmore Forestry School until 1913, because remember how I told you he was trying to do the self-sustaining thing, and then he died in 1914, but the school was closed like a year before he died. Okay. So one building gained notoriety as a meeting place for illicit activities, and reports tell of a woman's murder by a client, so a prostitute, or a sex worker.
I was just about to ask, what kind of illicit activities? A brothel?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a brothel. It was just like where sex workers would take their clients.
Okay.
So the official records on this remain elusive because, again, you know, trying to hide shit. So visitors to the area describe an inexplicable phenomena like lights operating independently in vacant windows and pronounced temperature drops despite the warm weather outdoors. And weird. Then obviously seeing the lady. But anyway, so that little snippet right there about the sex worker getting murdered was from haunted rooms. Because I saw it in some other places, but everybody else, all the other places just were like, oh, sex worker was killed, but there's no evidence or there, blah, 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 whatever. Like,
okay.
This one said, hey, it happened, but you could find something about it, but not a lot. So
little bits of information.
Yeah. So it probably really happened. And at this point in time,
well, that would be when Cornelia's still there, right? So she would have been able to hush, hush it.
It was in the 1930s, I think. So
well, you said she lived there for a while longer.
Yeah, but I think she was gone by then. I don't know, because this was after a while. Because, obviously, while George is still there and Edith is still there and stuff. I mean, because the forestry school shut down, like, all that stuff wasn't totally maintained. And then, like, the Great Depression happened. And during the Great Depression, because when George died, he left the house to Edith and Cornelia. And he was like, you just have to promise me that you're going to keep this place in the family and you're going to maintain it. But during the Great Depression, times got tough for everybody, Vanderbilts included. And so they would do like tours of the estate, not Cornelia. I don't know if she was gone by then or not. But anyway, because she was born in 1900 and I think, she left because she got married when she was 24. So she would have been married in 1924 and then had two kids and left. So I'm not sure exactly when. But during the Great Depression, they charged $2 a person to come in and tour it to help keep the estate. But that meant that other things had to go by the wayside because like we can't maintain this whole fucking estate and this forestry building and this barn and 195-mile property. So anyway.
Okay.
All right. Got it. Sorry, that was side note, not in my notes, but I did read it. And like I said, 1913, the school closed down, so it's not a school anymore, but it is part of the Cradle Forestry in America, or the Cradle of Forestry in America, which, along with the rest of the estate, is a National Historic Site.
Okay.
So inside the building, there are multimedia exhibits and the grounds can be explored using the paved walking trails. Sounds so fucking cool. And then last but not least, the ghost of a headless orange cat also,
what the fuck?
Also haunts the gardens. And nobody knows anything about the history of the cat or why it's headless, but it sounds like disturbing and I wouldn't want to see it. And
I would probably cry.
I would see ghost people and ghost animals, but I don't want to see anything headless, people or animals. Just, I don't want to see that.
What is it? Headless Nick from Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
That's different, though. And then, like, there's a lot of different, like, hauntings that are unexplained, but there are multiple cemeteries on the grounds. Multiple. Because, remember, it's 195 acres and there are 50 farms that he bought.
Right. I'm trying to think. That's literally, like...
Stop.
No, I'm just, it's like a town. It could be huge. A whole town on that property.
It had 50 and farms. Some. It had 50 farms on it. And I'm more.
Not, why do I need to stop? I'm saying it's like, it's a big fucking area. Like there's probably room for several towns on there.
Yeah, I guess. Because what, the city of Denver itself is like 6 square miles or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, there are
like a million people live there.
Multiple cemeteries on the grounds because there were 50 farms. And back then, when your family died, you buried them on your land and you had like a family cemetery.
Yeah.
So there are several cemeteries on the grounds and at least 5 of them predate the Vanderbilts. At least 5.
Okay.
That they can like.
So he was buying preoccupied territory.
Well, it had 50 farms on it when he bought it. But the farms were like in disrepair. But they said some people were like...
He restored a lot of them.
Yeah. Well, he just knocked everything down and started from scratch.
Okay.
But it sounds like some people were kind of disgruntled, like, this is my family farm and I can't believe blah, blah, blah. But they also couldn't afford it or maintain it or whatever. And so he was like, hey, I'm gonna buy all this shit. You guys in or out? And they're like, okay, we'll sell. But I'm not 100%. It just said that some people were not so happy. You know,
I'm sure
that one guy that bought all the Stanley, not the Stanley Hotel, but like that area up there. Remember how it was all homesteading and
yeah.
Lord anyway, Dunraven. The guy that was Irish. Yeah. Lord Dunraven. Thank you.
Creep.
The only documented murders on the grounds in 1922, a security guard named Walter Brooks confronted 5 men at the Shiloh Gate. And so like you figure it's got a gate all the way around it. And there's probably like 7, 8, 25. Whatever entrances and all the gates are like, meet me at the Shiloh Gate, meet me at the Marianne Gate, meet me at the Chelsea Gate, whatever. Yeah. So the Shiloh Gate is the location. And he told authorities that they were trying to, quote, take the place. So, you know, they're going to storm the castle.
Storm the Capitol.
Yes. Castle.
Storm the gates.
Storm the castle. Like in What's the Princess Bride. So when they advanced.
Storm the Capitol is Hunger Games.
Oh, and also Bad Things in real life.
Yes, but. Hunger Games was what I was thinking of when they stormed the Capitol.
Okay. So when they advanced after being warned, quote, he warned them, he shot 3 of the boys. 2 of them died and 1 was wounded. And it later came out that one of the boys believed that Brooks had shot his dog while it was chasing a deer on the property. And the boys had gone there to like confront him and maybe probably not kill him, but like be like, dude, what the fuck? You shot my dog. And then he killed 2 of them and injured somebody else. So after only 3 hours of deliberation, he was found guilty of second degree murder in September of 1922. This is the guard, Walter Brooks. And he was sentenced to 40 years of hard labor. And there are no hauntings reported to this event or anything that relates to.
To be fair, this is a good guard. He's protecting the grounds that he's working.
Yeah, but
I think you should kill people, but like.
I don't think they were really there to do that. They were there to confront him because he shot their dog.
Yeah, but if he's threatened and it seems like a threat to the property.
I don't think it was a threat to the property.
My point is he's a good guard.
No, I don't think so. I think he's an asshole who, when kids were like, dude, why the fuck did you shoot my dog? He was like, fuck you. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been found guilty. They'd have been like, oh no, it was the make my day law. But 1922. Okay. So I disagree with you. I respectfully disagree with you. I think he was an asshole who shot people because they confronted him about killing his dog.
Well, yeah, of course he's an asshole, but he's doing his job.
I agree to disagree. And there are no hauntings reported or related to this event, but it was just like the only documented murders on the property. And like we said, there might be
which
other
is crazy.
Shit that happened. Well, there might be other shit that happened. It's right, just not it documented.
Hush.
Yeah.
They were given hush money. That's the correct phrase. Hush money.
Hush money. Now the estate is approximately 8,000 acres and it's overseen by the Biltmore Company, a family trust set up by the Vanderbilts. And it's a huge company that employs tons of people in the area. And there are restaurants, a wine 4 gift shops. In 2001, they opened a luxury hotel on the property called the Inn on Biltmore Estate that has 210 rooms. And in 2010, the estate opened Antler Hill Village, which has more restaurants, shops, and a remodeled winery. Because the original winery is like in the old dairy barn, but this was a winery that already existed, and so they remodeled it. So anyway, a remodeled winery with a connected farmyard. And in 2015, the Village Hotel on Biltmore Estate was opened with 209 rooms, which is a more casual option than the luxury hotel. And there have been a bunch of movies that have used it for filming and some television shows and stuff. But I didn't like look all that up.
And we talked about it.
Yeah, but there's way more than that. Because the ones you were saying, there were some, but not all of them. But we don't need to go through it because nobody cares. I did totally look up the hotel. The Inn on Biltmore Estate, the fancy one, is like $380 a night starting. So it's like your base model room. And then the one that's more affordable and casual starts at like $200 a night. But that's also for just kind of meh. But anyway, I was like, oh, we have to go there. We so have to go
we
there.
We should go there.
But we won't be staying in the luxury hotel. But they do have cabins.
Why not? We might
and stuff.
Be able to.
Maybe.
We should just go stay there sometime.
Yeah. I think it'd be really cool because then we could do like all the tours of like, I don't know if they have ghosty tours, but they have like you can tour the mansion or the estate and you can you can tour like the grounds and there's like, it just looks amazing. I totally was like looking at all these pictures and all these tours and all these things. Spend a
weekend just there exploring it.
Yeah. But it's cheaper to go on the weekdays.
Okay. But you know, like, hey, like 3 days.
Sorry. Cause that's how much I looked that it was like, oh, discounts during the week. I was like, oh, we have to go during the week.
Well, we could go during the week.
Yep.
We could go take our single mic, the original one we recorded on, and go record.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Well, that's it.
That's all she wrote. I love it. Thank you.
Did you?
No, I did. I was just, I really was just trying to have a hard time wrapping. Like, how does somebody just have that big of a property is my thing. We looked it up. It's 9/10 the size of the city of Chicago. So that's huge.
Yeah.
So that's what I was just having a really hard time racking my brain around the size of the property.
Well, that's what happens when you're a millionaire. Because it's like,
how can you man all entrances of said property?
Well, the whole property probably wasn't fenced in, probably just around like the buildings.
Right. I mean, most people don't have their whole property fenced in. We don't have our whole property fenced in. Just our dog's yard is what's fenced in. And not the whole property, though. So I'm just, it's hard to fathom that size is what I'm trying to get at. That's Agreed. Why it was really stumping my brain trying to picture that size, because it's 9/10 the size of the city of Chicago.
Well, that's what happens when you have millions of dollars.
So basically, he just had a giant fucking property the size of Chicago, basically, and then had a big ass house on it.
With 250
dairy farms, or 50 farms, not necessarily all
dairy.
Well,
he took over 50 farms.
He took over 50 farms in the area, took over a bunch of old cemeteries. Like, it was already like an established size of a couple towns or a town or something like that. Or like a community. Yes, a community. He took over a community and built a big ass house on it. And it was all his property, though, all his land. Mm-hmm. That's why I had a hard time fathoming that.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Fathom is the word of choice because it's hard to picture. Well, it's hard to imagine that.
But now it's only 8,000 square miles.
Yeah.
So, 8,000. And some of it like backs up to national
square
forest.
Acres.
It's square acres.
That's way bigger than Yellowstone.
So it backs up to like farm, or not farmland, but like national forest. And it's all, like I said, a national historic site.
Yeah.
So, and it looks so cool.
Yeah, it does look weird.
But
beautiful.
When I looked up the nice hotel,
pictures I saw,
like people were all wearing like jewelry and fancy clothes and clinking
wine
glasses.
You have jewelry and fancy clothes and you could clink a wine glass with beer in it.
I like sweats.
And yeah, me too.
Harley Davidson t-shirts.
I know.
Or like right now it's time for like the Michael Myers and the Chucky t-shirts and the Scooby-Doo van with Freddy Krueger driving it.
Yeah. Or my Stitch onesie.
Yeah. It's time for all of that.
Yep. All right. Well, that's all we've got. You can follow us on our Instagram at That's Disturbing Podcast. I almost said That's Disturbing Podcast at gmail.com, but that is our email. But our Instagram is at That's Disturbing Podcast. Everything of ours is That's Disturbing Podcast, one word. Whether it's at gmail.com or at in front of the That's Disturbing for
Instagram.
We're actually going to work on getting a Facebook group going, or not group, page.
A group of me and Daphne.
A group of just the two of us chatting on there. Yeah, we're going to work on that. Yeah, we really do want this to be a thing. So
right.
Thank you
and
for
get
everyone
that book.
Who has patience.
We're going to read it and we're going to review it. But it sounds so cool.
It does sound so cool. We're going to have a dedicated episode, though, to our review of it.
Yeah.
So if anyone wants to follow along, you can send us a DM if you want to follow along with it. And we can make a full discussion out of it and talk about it on here.
Well, and I'm wondering if it's available like in an audio form. We're going to have to look at that because Daph and I are going to New Mexico next week and we're driving. And so like we have a six and a half, seven hour drive. So I'm like, ooh, if that book is available on audiobook, we can probably listen to an hour of it because we don't shut up and stop talking. So we could probably get through an hour of it.
But it is not on Audible yet.
All right.
That's all. But seriously, if you want to DM us, we can read it together and start a chat about it. All right. That's all. Bye-bye.